My Life in Christ, starting page 174. It is madness for a Christian to be envious. In Christ, we have all received infinitely great blessings, are all made godly, are all made inheritors of the unspeakable and eternal blessings of the kingdom of heaven, and we are also promised a sufficiency of earthly blessings upon the condition of seeking the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are commanded to be contented with what we have and not to be covetous. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such a thing as ye have. And it is added, for he, the Lord, has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is not therefore madness, is it not therefore madness after this to envy your neighbor anything, for instance, his honors, his wealth, his luxurious table, beautiful clothes, his fine house, etc.? Is it not all this? Is not all this mere dross in comparison to that which has been given to us in the image and likeness of God, according to which we were created in our redemption by the Son of God from our sins, from the cause and from death, in the bestowal upon us again of the blessings of our Heavenly Father, and in the eternal heavenly choice united with it? Therefore, let us strive to acquire mutual love, goodwill, and contentedness with what we have, friendship, hospitality, love for the poor, for the strangers, and to attain to the summit of virtues, humility, meekness, gentleness, and holiness. Let us respect the image of God in each other, the persons of Christ, our God, his body, God's sons by adoption, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the dwellers with and companions of the angels in praising God, that they may be one as our God, worshipped in the Holy Trinity, is himself one, and has created our hearts as one for unity, that is, simple, single. All present things are but a shadow of the future. The present light is a shadow of the future, ineffable light. Earthly bliss is a faint shadow of the future, unspeakable, eternal bliss. Fire, a faint shadow of the fire of Gehenna, which will burn sinners into ages of ages. Pure earthly joy, a shadow of unspeakable future joy. The magnificent royal palaces, a faint shadow of the resplendent mansions of paradise prepared for those who love God and fulfill his commandments. The glorious attire of the sons and daughters of men cannot be compared with that glorious garment with which the elect shall be clothed, for they will put on Christ. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of Father, according to the Savior's sure promise. As a child is indifferent to whatever clothes are put on it, so also the Christian, an infant in Christ, should be indifferent to the variety, richness, and beauty of his earthly garments, considering Christ, our God, his best and incorruptible garment. For an attachment to expensive fine clothes is peculiar to the children of this world and to the heathen, as the Lord says, For after the, all these things, that is, food and fine raiment, do the Gentiles seek. For dress is the idol of the children of this world. Oh, how vain and frivolous are we who are called to communion with God, to whom is promised the inheritance and incorruptible and eternal blessings. How obscure is our understanding of corruptible and incorruptible blessings. How unwise we are in valuing worthless things and not prizing incorruptible blessings. Our immortal soul, peace, joy, boldness before God, holiness, obedience, patience, in general, all the qualities of a true Christian. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, we must value spiritual blessings and valor, and despise material things as corruptible and worthless. The sin of inattention is one to which we are in great degree subjected. We must not disregard it, but must repent of it. We are in valuing worthless things and not prizing incorruptible in church. Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. The causes of inattention are the devil, and our manifold attachment to worldly, earthly things. Its reason is want of faith, the means to overcome it, fervent prayer. There is no happiness for me on earth save the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father and the Holy Ghost. He is my sole blessedness upon the earth. After God, there is nothing on earth dearer to me as it should be than the human soul. It is greater than anything else. Man is a precious being. God himself came down from heaven upon earth with his salvation. To man he gives for food and drink his most pure body and blood, all himself, only that he may become blessed, that he may not be lost. All the fruits of the earth, the treasures of all the three kingdoms of the earth, he has given unto dominion for the use of the pleasure of man. By all these immeasurable bounties the Lord has shown and still shows that he infinitely loves mankind and every man separately. Let us too imitate God's love and bountifulness. Let us be as far as possible merciful and bountiful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Whatever I look with my spiritual vision, whatever within me or upon me or outside of me, everywhere, I see powerful reason for thanking and praising the Lord, especially when I look only within myself, then I see the strongest reason for doing so. The whole earth of my heart, all my spiritual light comes from God, all my bodily strength, everything that serves to maintain my bodily life comes from God. Everywhere I see the glory, the sole glory of my God, and see nothing in myself of which I could boast as of my own. Glory to him who gives me strength. Glory to him who works through me and within me. As I have nothing of my own, I have everything from God, down to the smallest good inclination of my heart, down to every holy and bright thought, whilst without God I am nothing. Worse than this, I am all evil. Therefore, I have the strongest reason to have recourse to God and pray for everything. I have especially powerful reason to thank God for his most pure and life-giving sacrament, his body and blood. It is everything to me. I fervently praise the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, for his unspeakable love for us mortals, revealed in the Holy Sacrament. what an immeasurable great honor it is to mankind that they can open their lips before God, that they can converse with Him, and are able to make requests to Him of their needs, to thank Him for His benefits, to praise His unspeakable magnificence, and to be assured that this sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise is agreeable to God, that our highest spiritual requests to Him relating to salvation of our souls are always fulfilled. How immeasurably high is man exalted in this respect above all other sentient and animate creatures. No other creature has received such honor as from God. Though they too have tongues, express the needs of their nature, but it is said that the young ravens call upon Him. Let us therefore make use of this great honor in order to be worthy of a still higher honor from the Lord of the heavenly calling. There in heaven shall be our full glory, whilst here its beginning only is revealed to true Christians. On account of our corporiety and spirituality, the Lord unites His grace, even Himself, to everything visible and material, and works through everything. Thus He transforms bread and wine into His own body and blood, or into His visible tabernacle. He changes the temple into His own house. Upon the altar in the temple He invisibly sits enthroned as a king. Upon the cross He manifests Himself as though in the same body in which He was crucified, and works miracles by means of the cross, showing His life-giving power through it. He is everywhere throughout the universe, as in temple, and at the same time being holy everywhere, is not limited by any space, being always above every space and time. You marvel that he can unite His own self with His power and His saving grace to matter. Marvel, first of all, how He has united it in man, His godly image, with matter, with earth and dust, how this dust can think, speak, and diffuse around itself the fragrance of goodness, righteousness, truth, and love, and can accomplish it in the common life so many wonderful, truly wonderful deeds. Marvel also at how many various kinds of speechless souls are enclosed in the dust, gifted with some kind of a sense, with a thirst after life and joy, with a feeling of self-protection, a capacity for finding themselves food, for constructing what is necessary for their safety, and for bringing their children into the world, and understanding how to defend themselves cleverly. Marvel how nearly all made bodies are united with invisible, intangible powers which sometimes move their enormous masses, as with the heavenly bodies, sometimes turn them into beautiful and always identical, unchangeable form, as in plants. Marvel that so many different powers are created by God. For all powers are derived from the one single power, and the Almighty Himself works through every power. Truly, everything appertaining to God, the Creator, as to God of wonders, is wonderful. Likewise, in faith, everything is wonderful through invisible but true and real. The pure in heart shall see God. God is an all-seeing eye, a spiritual sun standing above the world, penetrating with His spiritual eyes into the thoughts and hearts of men, enlightening every creature. Our soul is an eye from the eye, sight from the sight, light from the light. But now, since our fall into sin, our eye and soul is diseased through sins. Take the cataract off your eye, and you will see the spiritual sun, the everlasting eye, 10,000 times brighter than the material sun. How often it happens that enlightened man has one thing in his heart and another upon his lips, and wears two faces at one and the same time. It is through or during prayer before God himself who knows the secrets of man. A man also frequently wears two faces, saying one thing and having another in his heart and thoughts, which happens to openness when saying a prayer. Although he understands it and thinks about it, he does not sympathize in his heart with that which he is saying, being dead and thus throwing the words to the air. Then he deceives himself if he believes that he can please God by such a prayer. This strange sinful duplicity, it is a bitter fruit and evidence of our fall into sin. It seems habitual to our heart to lie in prayer and in our intercourse with other men. The heart is a pillar of falsehood. All men are liars. The Christians must make use of every means in order to eradicate every falsehood from his heart and to implant pure truth within it. We must begin with prayer as with a matter in which truth is indispensable before everything. In accordance with the Lord's own words, worship him in spirit and in truth. Speak the truth from your heart. When we have learned to speak the truth from our heart during prayer, we shall not allow ourselves to lie in our everyday life. Sincere true prayer, having cleansed our heart from falsehood, will protect it against falsehood in our relations with other men and worldly matters. How can we teach ourselves to speak the truth from our heart during prayer? We must bring every word of the prayer down into our heart, lay it to the heart, feel its truth in our heart, be convinced of all our need of that for which we ask God in prayer, or of the need of the hearty gratitude for his great and innumerable benefits to us, and of the most heartfelt praise for his great, most wise works in his creation. Everything that constitutes the man, the soul, lives solely by God and only in union with him, whilst when the soul separates itself from God, then it experiences extreme distress. But the life of my soul consists in the peace of my spiritual powers, and this peace proceeds exclusively from God. There is, it is true, carnal peace also, but it is the diffused one, the forerunner of the spiritual storm, of which the Lord says, when they shall say to men, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them. But spiritual peace, which proceeds from the Spirit of God, differs as heaven from earth from such carnal peace. It is heavenly bliss-giving. Peace I give you, often said the Lord to his disciples, giving them his peace, and the apostles also gave peace to believers, and wished them God's peace as the highest blessings, because God's peace constitutes the life of our soul and witnesses to the union of our soul with God. The absence of peace in the soul, disturbance by which all the passionate conditions of our soul are distinguished, is spiritual death and the sign of the action of the enemy of our salvation in our hearts. Faith is the key of God's treasury. She dwells in simple, kind, loving hearts. All things are possible to him that believeth. Faith is a spiritual mouth. The more freely it opens, the greater the stream by which the divine springs enter into it. Let this mouth freely open, as your bodily one does, do not let your lips become pressed by doubt and unbelief. If you compress them by doubt and unbelief, the treasury of God's blessing will be closed to you. The more openly, the more heartily you believe in God's omnipotence, the more bountifully will God's heart be open to you. What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. O men, are the breath and the creation of one God. From God they have come forth, and to God, as to their origin, they will return. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As the breath of the one God, and as having proceeded from one man, men ought naturally to live in mutual love, mutually caring for one another, and ought not to be divided from each other by selfishness, pride, malice, envy, avarice, or unsociability of character, that they may be one. Look at the ants, how friendly they are. Look at the bees, how friendly they are. Look at the flights of pigeons, daws, rooks, crows, geese, ducks, swans, sparrows, how friendly they are all. Look at the flock of sheep, and in general, at any horned cattle, how friendly they are. Oh, they all are. Think of the innumerable shoals of some sort of fishes in the sea and the rivers, which always like to move in shoals, how friendly they are. Think also how zealously they all take care of each other, help one another, love each other, and be ashamed by the dumb creatures. You who do not live in love with others and flee from the obligations of bearing one another's burdens. God is long-suffering and merciful to you. This you experience many times every day. Be long-suffering and merciful to your brethren, also fulfilling the words of the apostles who thus speak of charity before everything. Charity suffers long and is kind. You desire that the Lord should receive you by his love. Rejoice in your part the hearts of others by your tender love and kindness. God is love, O most gracious, O wise and omnipotent being. Therefore those who pray must believe that the Lord will give all things needful bountifully, as he is loving and bountiful, wisely, as he is all-wise, and as he is omnipotent, there and then when we do not expect. During divine service, during the celebration of the all sacraments and prayers, be trustful as a child in relation to his parents. Remember what great fathers of the Church, what inspired luminaries enlightened by the Holy Ghost are guiding you. Be simple, trustful, undoubting as a child in godly matters. Cast all your care upon the Lord and be entirely free from the sorrow. Take no thought how or what ye shall speak, or for it shall be given to you at the same hour when ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The Lord has long ago freed us from this care, this sorrow, having taught our God-fearing fathers by his Spirit what to say and how to pray to the Lord at the divine service, at the celebration of the sacraments, and upon various other occasions and circumstances of human life requiring prayer to bring down the blessings from above. It ought to be easy for us to pray. Only the enemy troubles us. But what matter his troubling if our heart is firmly established in the Lord? It is only a misfortune if we do not rest in God, if there is no room, no firm faith in us, if we have bound ourselves by worldly attachments, if our intellect is proud and presumptuous. Then, even in the most holy, most pure matter of service, at the celebration of the communion of the holy mysteries, the enemy will greatly hinder us. Be kind, meek, humble, and simple as possible in your intercourse with all. Consider yourself not hypocritically inferior to all in respect to your spiritual condition, that is, more sinful and weaker than all. Say to yourself, of all sinners, I am the first. From pride exceeds self-sufficiency, coldness and insincerity in our behavior to our inferiors, or to those from whom we do not expect to obtain any advantage. How quick we are to evil and how slow to good. Now I desire to do good to my enemy and to really show him kindness. But before I succeed in becoming kind in my heart, I am already evil. A fiery arrow of evil already inwardly burns one. I wish to be patient, but before I have strengthened my heart and patience, I become irritable, impatient. I wish to be humble, but Satan's pride has already found ample room in my heart. I wish to be gracious. Meanwhile, when it is necessary to show graciousness, I show myself rough. I wish to be unmercenary and generous, but cupidity and avarice upon the last occasion, like hungry and roaring lions, require to be fed. I wish to be simple, trustful, but cunning and doubt already gnaws at my heart. I wish to be grave, concentrated, and reverent in my service to the Almighty. But light-mindedness and inattention of the heart prevents my becoming so. I wish to detach myself from earthly things, to be abstinent in food and drink. But when I see pleasant food and drink and sit down to table, I, like a slave, am taken a willing captive by my belly. I easily allow myself to eat and drink more than my nature requires. Greediness and intemperance again prevent and get the better of my desire to be indifferent to food and drink. Thus I am like that impotent man who lay for 38 years upon his bed and came many times to the pool of Bethsaida, which made well whosoever first stepped in after the troubling of the water by the angel, but always another stepped down before him, and one I, having become impotent through my sins, make an effort and come to myself with the intention of immersing myself in God and of changing for the better, and another steps into my heart before me. Sin and the devil forestalls me in my own house, in my own pool of Bethsaida, and do not allow me to reach the source of living water, the Lord. Do not allow me to immerse myself in the cleansing pool of faith, humility, heartfelt contrition, and tears. Who will heal me then? Jesus Christ alone. When he sees my sincere and firm desire to be healed of my spiritual infirmity, when he hears my fervent prayer, then he will say to me, take up thy bed and walk, and I shall rise, from the bed of spiritual infirmity and walk. That is, by His grace, I shall easily vanquish all my passions and fulfill every virtue. During prayer, intentional, deliberate, extreme humility is indispensable. We must remember who speaks and what he says. This is especially necessary during the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, humility destroys all the snares of the enemy. Ah, how much secret pride there is in us. This we say, I know. This I do not need. This is not for me. This is superfluous. In that I am not a sinner. How much sophistry of our own. When you pray, say in your heart, against the various thoughts and provocations that come from the enemy, the Lord is everything to me. Likewise, during all your life, when passions attack you, and during every oppression of the enemy, and during sickness, affliction, misfortunes, and disasters, say, the Lord is everything to me. I myself can do nothing, cannot bear anything, cannot surmount, conquer anything. He is my strength. Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall passion. It is necessary to watch over a man in every way, so that the fire of sin shall not burn him, shall not darken him. The Son of Man, be ashamed. O contemplate shame. O devil is shame. O stink of the Satan's ascending from the well of the abyss. How many are diseased with it? How many do not recognize its enticement and become enslaved by it to the ruin of their souls? Look at the worldly writers, journalists, writers of feuilletons. They write of what they will not write during their literary career, but of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, of the Church, of the Divine Service, of the Christian festivals, of the resurrection of our body, of the judgment, of the life beyond the grave. They do not even make mention. They say it is not their providence, not their business. We are of the world, and we speak of the worldly matters, and therefore the world listens to us. But if we were to speak of God, perhaps no one would read what we write. Thus, worldly literate is completely foreign to the spirit of Christianity. It even seemed to be ashamed of the spirit of Christ. The devil cunningly induces us, instead of irritating us against himself, to notice our neighbor's sins, to make us spiteful and angry with others, and to awaken our contempt towards them, thus keeping us in enmity with our neighbors and with the Lord God himself. Therefore, we must despise the sins, the faults themselves, and not our brother who commits them at the devil's instigation, through infirmity and habit. We must pity him and gently and lovingly instruct him as one who forgets himself, or who is sick, as a prisoner and a slave of his sin. But our animosity, our anger towards the sinner, only increases his sickness, oblivion and spiritual bondage. Instead of lessening them, beside this, it makes us ourselves like madmen or sick men, the prisoners of our own passions and of the devil, who is the author of them. Every sin proceeds from the spirit of evil. He who sins is a slave of sin, is tortured by sin. Therefore, do not be too severe, but be gentle with him who sins. knowing our infirmity, common infirmity, pity this sinner as one who is sick, or who has lost his way and is walking in darkness, or as one who is bound with iron fetters, as one whose mind is deranged. For although these qualities may be attributed to a sinner or to the one who is under the dominion of some should not bind him, should not plunge him into sickness, should not destroy him.